Welcome to the ULM Forum. I'm Jay Curtis. Two guests in the studio with me today, the interim provost here at the University of Louisiana at Monroe, Dr. Eric Panny, and Lisa Miller is the associate provost for enrollment. Glad to have you both here today.
Hi, Jay.
Great to be here.
We wanted to talk a little bit about enrollment numbers, both here at ULM and looking at around the region. Those have all been reported in the last couple of weeks. First, tell us about where we ended up. It's been in the paper some, but where we ended up and what happens next.
Okay, Jay. Well, our final headcount enrollment was 8,858, which was down a slight amount from last year, 2%, which is really, you know, not something that alarms us too much. We're tracking our enrollment numbers beginning the day registration opens. And really, truly, even earlier than that, we're watching the number of students who are making application to the university as early as August the prior year. So, you know, we've been watching for this and trying to adjust for what we saw was coming, to us in terms of a number. I think that it allows us to step back and evaluate just some of our subpopulation. And Dr. Panny has done some work for us in that regard the last few days. So I'll let him discuss some things, some nuances we've seen in the enrollment.
So, Dr. Panny, there are some changes that have been made that will long-term certainly help retention and enrollment.
Right. A couple of things that we've done are to decrease the number of hours in our baccalaureate degrees. The state previously had mandated 125 hours. Now we've dropped them down to 120 hours in most cases. The only exceptions to that are cases where accrediting agencies require us to have more hours than that. We're looking at increasing the number of free electives in our programs as well, so that students who transfer from one degree to another can use more of their credits. We're also looking at adjusting the number of hours required for a major. In many cases, you know, over time, there's a creep towards more and more hours. And what we recognize is that perhaps is maybe a little bit excessive, that students will want to take more hours in their major. But what we're really after are setting a level that is common within the other academic programs across the nation. And so we're moving towards efforts like that. One of the things I would mention, too, about the overall headcount was that we all recognize that we had the largest graduation class last year and that the demographics of the region are such that the number of high school graduates are decreasing over time. So we had anticipated a slight decrease in our enrollment, so it wasn't anything unexpected.
And Lisa, you can also talk about a little bit the changes in the types of enrollment as well.
Correct. Types of enrollment in terms of, you know, our first-time freshman population is always important to us because that's the group of students that indicate to us we're a school of choice. And we feel very strongly about the quality of student that is enrolling and choosing ULM. We continue to see the number of students receiving TOPS enrolling here at the institution. The number of students receiving academic scholarships continues to increase, as well as we're maintaining our ACT average, which is a 21.7, which is an all-time high for the institution. You know, when we look at enrollment, you have to go back and also do some research on who are those students who are successfully making it through the institution to that point of graduation. And as you study that data, you realize that students who are better prepared, who enter the institution, are more likely to graduate. So we've really been looking at increasing our admission standards, which we will be doing next year. We did a little bit this year by limiting the number of students that we admit by exception. Those are students who don't meet the admissions criteria. And the state allows us, the board allows us a 10% number for that group. And we did not hit anywhere near that because we've realized those students really need some more foundation before they can be successful here at the institution, which is exactly why the state has charged us what they have in the Grad Act. Some of the goals they've outlined for us in terms of increasing our retention and graduation rates and to strengthen our relationships with the community college. We have this brand new community college right here, not far down the road. And, you know, we're all excited about that because it certainly serves a purpose for us here in the region. We will be working with them to develop the new Louisiana transfer degree and partnering with them on how to make it easy for a student who starts at Delta Community College and wants to come over to ULM. We'll be doing that as well with BPSI and River Parish Community College and Delgado. A lot of people don't realize Delgado Community College has 16,000 students. And so our online degrees are extremely popular for them. You know, it's a way for them to stay in their community with their families, maybe even in their job, and complete a degree online.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Delta. Dr. Penny, how is that likely to affect both the numbers here, because it's a brand new facility and certainly growing, but also over the years to come?
Well, over the years to come, the Board of Regents has really mandated that we, by 2014, not accept any students who require any remedial work. So within the next 3 years, 4 years, We're going to see a decrease in the number of students that are coming in that require that developmental work. They'll have to go to a place like Delta Community College. I think with the exposure that we've seen for community colleges in general, and particularly for Delta, the press that they've had with the new building opening up, that's on everybody's mind. And so we're seeing a very beautiful facility with good programs over there. So the students, it's not surprising that they've increased their enrollment. They're also expanding out. They've got a campus, I think, Tallulah, that they had an area. So they're growing in their outreach as well. So it's not surprising that students are going to Delta. I think what will help us, though, is as the state develops the transfer associate degree, it's going to be much easier for students to make that transition from a two-year institution like Delta to ULM, where they can then go on and complete their baccalaureate degree and then continue on further if they want to pursue graduate level work.
Well, let's talk about the transfer associate degree. We touched on that a couple of weeks ago, but explain really how that goes together, and it's part of a statewide initiative too.
Right. The state has mandated that any student who completes the transfer associate degree, which is a 60 credit hour program at a community college or a two-year institution, that all 60 of those hours transfer over to a university towards a baccalaureate degree, and that they generally satisfy the general education requirements for the university. So what that means is we had seen cases where students would be transferring from a community college to a university. They would have to take additional undergraduate lower level hours because they were required to complete core requirements at the university. We'll see less of that now with the transfer associate degree. There may be some cases in specialized programs, like in the health sciences, for example, where the students have to take a course like anatomy and physiology that we'll have to work very closely with those students at the community colleges so that they understand what those requirements are and they're prepared to come into the university.
Jay, the number one question a transfer student has when they contact the institution is, can someone tell me what will transfer? What of the credits that I have already earned are going to be transferable to my degree program? And first of all, we know that if they earned them at an accredited institution, certainly they're going to count. But the critical point is, are they going to count towards my degree? And so through this transfer degree program, we'll be developing templates for each of our degree programs that a transfer student who's interested in coming to ULM and completing their degree, they can go out there and look. What are those courses that are articulated from institution to institution? So it takes that unknown away. It makes it easier for them if they get here and someone, that takes away that, oh, well, I thought that was going to transfer.
Right.
Or, we've all heard horror stories. So really what the board did is to be commended. They got together a group of students who have transferred and said, what were the problems you encountered during this process? And they outlined for us exactly what they wanted to see happen at the campuses. And so there's been a lot of effort that's gone into this. We're really very excited about it. Bringing in students who are at that junior level and taking advantage of the strong programs that we have to offer here.
Because that's something that's ultimately going to cause a much tighter integration statewide between the community college system and the four-year programs.
Exactly. It improves the situation for all the students. And in the data that I've looked at over the last few days or so, it's very clear that we're seeing a growth in the number of transfer students to ULM. So this will only, I think, improve that further. The 2+2 programs that we've developed with many of the community colleges already, you know, we took a step out in that direction several years ago, and we're seeing the benefits from that with the growth of the transfer students.
I think an interesting phenomena that a lot of people aren't aware of is that transfer students in the past have not counted in our graduation rate. So if a student transfers here for pharmacy or business or nursing, they are not calculated in our graduation rate. And so the board has addressed that by creating kind of a new group called completers that will allow us to be able to look and see how many students are actually completing, as opposed to this graduation rate that's really looking at first-time, full-time freshmen graduating in the time that's defined by the board.
Dr. Penny, where do you see the Grad Act implementation going, both for the area and eventually statewide?
I think the Grad Act has been really good for universities, because what it really does is it's always good to examine yourself and see how you're operating, where you want to go. Everybody does that as part of their strategic planning process. So it really helped us focus on some of those issues like retention, first to second year retention, first to third year retention, where we want to put our resources, because we all realize that the resources that are coming to the universities are decreasing. So we're looking at where are we growing, and we're going to grow in our baccalaureate degrees, we're going to grow in our master's level degrees, but because of the board's mandate, we're going to decrease in the number of associate degrees, for example, that we offer. One of the important aspects of all of this, though, is it does allow us to increase our tuition some, and we're very appreciative of that because of the declining resources in the other appropriations for the state. So, you know, it shifts the model somewhat in higher education from a public-supported institution to more of a private-supported institution. As I think Dr. Moffitt said the other day, we're becoming a quasi-private enterprise. And really, that's what's happening to higher education, not just in Louisiana, but across the country.
And also, we should mention that today is the final day for applications for the job as president of the University of Louisiana at Monroe. The institutional review team was here last week. We look forward to their recommendations or their review coming up in the next couple of weeks, right. But also expecting probably a few last-minute applications.
Sure, and that's common in higher education. A lot of people who are in sitting presidencies or are in positions elsewhere don't really want to reveal to their colleagues that they're looking for another job until they have to, right at the last minute. So it's very common that we see situations like ours, where in the last few days of the search process, we see an increase in the number of applicants.
Also, the New Star editorial yesterday talking about this could be a place for somebody to make a mark.
It really can. ULM's in a prime situation. We've said for many, many years that we're a gem on the bayou, and it's an unrecognized gem, and it's just fabulous. We're in such good shape. Our students are doing so well. We're handling the fiscal challenges that are coming to the university very effectively because I think we have a very good leadership team, and we have people like Lisa Miller who are working very hard to go out there and find those students and manage our enrollment very effectively.
Well, we're very excited about where we are at the university, and we're looking forward to that next leader who's got the vision for the next phase of ULM. I'm like Dr. Penny, I think we're positioned in a great place to attract a great leader that we know is passionate about the institution and what's going on here. And, you know, we're focused on quality here, both in the programs that we offer, the people that we serve, our enrollment, all of those things. And we're just looking forward to the next leader.
Well, Interim Provost Dr. Eric Panny and Associate Provost for Enrollment Lisa Miller here at the University of Louisiana at Monroe. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Jay.
Also, we should mention the first home football game this weekend at ULM as the Warhawks take on the Lions of Southeastern Louisiana University. A number of events going on throughout the day. The Grove opens at 9 o'clock. The Warhawks walk through at 3:15 and the kickoff at 6 p.m. Ticket information is at ulmwarhawks.com or call 342-3ULM. You've been listening to the ULM Forum. Comments or questions about the show can be emailed to woodard@ulm.edu or mail them to the ULM Forum, care of KEDM Public Radio, 250 Stubbs Hall, 401 Bayou Drive, Monroe, Louisiana, 71209. Podcasts of the ULM Forum are available at kedm.org in the listening room.